We're talking about the momentum in Canada towards legalizing the same-sex marriages and the possibility of it happening here in the U.S. Our next guest knows better than most about how different Canadians and Americans are becoming. He's been studying attitudes in the two countries quite closely over the past 12 years or so, from cars to leadership to gay marriage, and we're widely divided by much more than our perspectives on ice hockey. If you'd like to join the discussion, if you're a Canadian expat who struggles to understand your southern cousins and co-workers here in the States, or if you're an American who looks north and wonders why Canada is able to legalize pot, have universal health care, and not support the war in Iraq, give us a phone call. 800-989-8255, 800-989-TALK. Email TOTN at NPR.org. The man of whom I'm speaking is Michael Adams, founder and president of the Canadian polling company Environics, and the author of a new book, Fire and Ice, The United States, Canada, and the Myth of Inevitability. And he joins us on the phone from his office in Toronto. And welcome to Talk of the Nation.
Hi, Neil.
First of all, gay marriage. Is there a divide within Canada over this topic?
There is. About 6 in 10 think it's okay, and about 4 in 10 don't like it.
Earlier we were speaking with Martha McCarthy. She said the governor of Alberta was particularly opposed. Are there geographical differences?
There are. There are some, and Alberta is our most conservative province in the country, although they really don't have jurisdiction on this issue. The jurisdiction would be federal, and it would be under our Charter of Rights and Freedoms. It would be like the U.S. Constitution and your Bill of Rights, and so it will be the law across the land when the government says it's okay. Actually, when the government accedes to the decision of our courts that it's okay.
Now, why, and this is based on your polling, I would think, why do you think Canada is able to move ahead on this issue? It's a very difficult one. In the United States, it does not look that way.
Well, it probably highly correlates, I think, with religion. America is an exceptional country in the modern, certainly in the Euro-American cultures, and Canada and the Europeans seem to be going in one direction, and the United States in another, and particularly in the last 25 or 30 years, with the rise of neoconservatism in the United States and a growing conservatism in social values there, it is quite distinct from countries like Canada, Britain, Germany, France, and others that we study, who are moving to a more socially liberal, tolerant kind of attitude towards minorities.
I should leap in to mention that the countries you're describing are what Donald Rumsfeld might call old Europe. This is not true of Poland, for example.
I don't know. I don't have Polish numbers, but I imagine that over time, as Poland joins modernity, there will be a questioning of traditional patriarchal, hierarchical, and religious authority there, and that Europe will, or at least Poland will eventually join the European mainstream. It has a tradition there, at least of some tradition of communism, so it would likely that they would move into social democracy and eventually become similar to the other European countries. It's remarkable that Canada shares a continent with the United States, accepts overwhelming amounts of American popular culture, and yet over the last 25 or 30 years has become a country that is, which was once more religious, conventionally religious than the United States. We now have less than 20% who go to church every Sunday compared to Americans who are at the level of about 45%, about the same as George Gallup measured in the 1930s. A third of Canadians think religion is important in their daily life compared to about two-thirds of Americans. And I've been tracking a question I find really interesting on this whole question of gender and gender identity and institutions. And it's the question of father being the master in his own house. And we find that in the United States in the year 2000, as America was about to go to the polls and select George Bush, 49% of Americans felt that the father of the family must be the master in his house, up from 42% in 1996, whereas in Canada it has been going down every year. We're now at 18% in Canada in favor of patriarchal authority, a 31 percentage point gap between the two countries, and Canada is much more similar to Britain, France, Germany, Netherlands, Scandinavian countries on that item.
Well, let's get listeners involved. Again, our phone number is 800-989-8255. And let's go to Tammy, who's joining us from Lansing, Michigan.
Hi. Hi, Neil.
Hi.
What I'd like to say is I think the problem in America is we can't seem to follow the Constitution. We can't separate church and state. And coming from Michigan, I'm starting to look at the Canadian border with longing right about now.
And specifically, you're talking about the same-sex marriages?
Pretty much everything. The universal health care that they have.
What does that have to do with religion?
Well, no, that doesn't, but ever since George Bush was elected president, I've been very nervous about the way that our country's going to go. I don't think that the government needs to impress its moral beliefs or somebody else's moral beliefs upon the way the rest of us live our daily lives. And I don't see why having homosexuals get married is such a big deal and why so many people are so adamantly against it. And so when I see a more forward-thinking country like Canada, that makes me just wish we were more like them.
Well, Tammy, thanks very much for the phone call. Michael Adams, there's somebody who does see a distinction. But the interesting thing in your polls, you always ask the question, I think longitudinally, I think is the way you pollsters phrase it, over, you know, do Canadians think their country is becoming more like America? And I think it was something like 6 in 10 said yes, it was.
They do believe. We have a false consciousness, to use a Marxist term. And then again, that is because 95% of the movies we see are American. Two-thirds of our television shows are coming from variety from New York, drama from Los Angeles, reality TV. I don't know exactly how to describe that. So the Canadians, in fact, are inundated with popular culture from elsewhere. Our kids like J-Lo and Eminem just as much as American kids do. But they do come home to Canadian homes. And they come home to homes that are more egalitarian. They live in communities, multicultural communities like my own Toronto. 45% are foreign-born in this city. It's the most multicultural city in North America, with a crime rate that's, I don't know, by a factor of 10 less than equivalent cities in the United States, certainly when it comes to homicide with the use of weapons. And so, you know, we've kind of created this socially liberal, multicultural, social democracy with universal health care. Everybody is covered. And spending about 40% of our gross domestic product on public services. The people keep electing governments that do this. In the U.S., it's more like a third of GDP on government services and a much greater reliance on market forces. You have, in many respects, I think over the last 25 or 30 years, reversed everything from the New Deal up to the Great Society. You've decided that you don't want socialism. You want the free play of market forces, a more, you might call it a neo-Darwinism. And it's a more interesting place, but it's also a place without a social safety net. So it's also a little more dangerous. And since 9/11, of course, it's not just the danger of falling through the social safety net and a society of winner take all, you know, roll a dice, see if you win, but it's also a society that fears international terrorism. And I think in such a society, you tend to turn to, you know, the father who's master in the house, the police chief, and the president and commander in chief to protect people in a very dangerous world. You're a society that's more stressed than most societies. You work very hard to get ahead, and now you have this this fear of international, not only domestic problems that can happen with a lot of people having guns. Half of your households have guns. In Canada, it's less than 20%. But you've got the fear internationally, so you're more stressed. And then there's the fear factor that accentuates, and I think in those situations you tend to look to strong authority figures to provide some order and some protection in a much more dangerous world than the Canadians and the Europeans live in.
We're speaking with Michael Adams. He's the author of Fire and Ice, The United States, Canada, and the Myth of Inevitability. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's get another phone call. Tyler's with us from Portland, Oregon.
Hi, Neil. Thanks for having me on the show.
Sure.
There were a few things I wanted to say. First of all, I wanted to thank you guys for providing the show. It's a great show, and I learn a lot from it, and I'm a regular listener.
Well, thank you.
Second of all, I wanted to kind of add a voice to Terry's in that the current administration is really what's gotten me as a 26-year-old, finally got me politically motivated to basically get this administration out of office, and I'd urge anybody who feels that way to get motivated. Also, I'd just like to ask our guest, does he feel, or do you feel that the divergence in, Canada and American policies, do you think that that's antagonistic, or if not antagonistic, at least based on, seeing the end results of American policies and wanting to avoid those negative impacts?
No, I don't. I think each of our societies had, a different beginning point. We created different institutions. You start out with Thomas Jefferson's wonderful phrase, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. You wanted to frustrate government. You wanted the action to be out in the private marketplace. And when Alexis de Tocqueville, the Frenchman, came over to study your prison system in the 1830s, he said that that quest for material gain had to be balanced by religious values and a strong civil society. And in Canada, when we formed our country, and we formed our country just after your Civil War, when 620,000 soldiers died, and we said, we don't really want to solve our problems that way. We're going to solve things by compromise. And so we form our country with the motto, peace, order, and good government. And as Meatloaf sang 20 years ago, two out of three ain't bad. And Canadians always laugh at that and pick the two out of three they think we have. We've always had more government than you've had. And we've always tried to balance how much government and how much of the private individual, individualism should we have. There's always been that balance in Canada.
Well, we got an email from Carolyn Laudig, who listens to WFYI-FM in Indianapolis, who was talking about the differences and said, a contest was held recently to find a Canadian phrase comparable to as American as apple pie, and suggested the winner was as Canadian as possible under the circumstances.
And I think it's a wonderful motto. And, there's another one up here you Americans will love, is that a parliamentarian a few years ago in Parliament said, the Americans are our best friends, whether we like it or not. and I think you are our best friends. Many of us, of course, have business connections in the United States who are in the business community, and a lot of us have cousins in the U.S., going back and forth between Canada and the U.S. So of course, we take our vacations. It gets kind of cool up here. You may think we love it, but we don't. We love Arizona and Florida when the weather is appropriate down there. But we have created a different society on the northern half of this continent. And in many ways, it is one in which I would say it's less dynamic. We put more emphasis on quality of life than standard of living. We're much more to spend our extra money on experiences, on travel, on having some new experience in life than the pursuit of the almighty dollar to buy things, large houses, large cars, and that sort of thing. That is more evidence in America that you've arrived in America. Thorsten Veblen described the idea of ostentatious consumption and a much more orientation, again, to the market, to money, and the things that money can buy.
I'll resist making any references to the less-than-almighty loony. Tyler, thanks very much for the phone call. We'll wrap up our conversation with Michael Adams when we come back from a break, and we'll also look at the science of superheroes. How do they do all that stuff? Is it remotely plausible? I'm Neil Conan. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. This is Talk of the Nation. I'm Neil Conan in Washington. We're wrapping up our conversation with Michael Adams. His new book is Fire and Ice, The United States, Canada, and the Myth of Inevitability. It's not available yet here in the United States, but if you head to our website, www.npr.org, you can find a link on how to get a copy. And let's go to another caller. And George joins us on the line from Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Hi, I'm Canadian. I moved to the States here about 3 years ago. And what I like here in the States, that I was able to buy a home. It's a lot cheaper in cost than in Canada. And in terms of the states, and Oklahoma specifically, we found that was the first comment we talked about when my wife and I moved down here, that people are more conservative. Kids are more respecting to the adults. They call us Mr. Michael, Mrs. Sharon, and rarely they call the first name. And in Canada, the latest ruling that they changed now is the same-sex marriage. In terms of the religious part, I don't like that because it's against the Christianity, and also in other religions.
Michael Adams, certainly Canada is not homogeneous. There are a lot of different kinds of Canadians.
Actually, you know, it's interesting. Canada is a country where French and English didn't conquer each other. They had to accommodate Catholic and Protestant, East and West. And this constant compromise in the country has led to a sense of tolerance of the other. You don't establish moral superiority, wait for provocation, and then try to blow them away, and whoever wins is then the dominant culture. It's always been this compromise going halfway, and I think probably in America it's more of a conflict, of a sense that one side's right, one side's wrong, and we'll just find out who wins in the end. And it's interesting that I find that the three things kind of highly correlate in Canada and the United States. The orientation to patriarchal authority, religiosity is a very, very high correlate. People who are strongly religious, particularly religious fundamentalists, are very strong on the traditional structure of dad on top, mom is number two, and the kids are in third place or further down the totem pole.
Mm-hmm.
And in Canada, it's interesting, we've moved from that hierarchy to what we call a heterarchy, where everyone is equal, and of course mom and dad are equal, and the kids are treated as equal as early as possible in life. And that model then expresses itself in the workplace and in the political marketplace, and it's expressed in everyday life in Canada. And by the way, you know, you had people calling from not just Oklahoma, but, you know, from Michigan, from around the country. We find huge differences regionally within the United States. 29% of people in New England think father should be the master in his own home, and it goes up to 71% in the Deep South. In Canada, in all of the regions across the country, it doesn't vary by more than 2 or 3% around that 18% level that we find. So there, while we have a lot of differences on the surface, underlying is there that consensus. Within the United States, you have strong conservative groups, strong liberal groups. They tend to be located on your coasts, New England and the Pacific Northwest. And then you have another very large group that's neither liberal nor conservative and that is not even engaged at all in that ideological debate and have moved on to another area of our research that we call exclusion, who are actually outside the mainstream of that debate between the Christian right and the aging hippies and their hot tubs in Sausalito.
Michael Adams, thanks very much for joining us today.
I've enjoyed it. Thank you.
Again, Michael Adams is the author of Fire and Ice. He's also president of the polling firm Environics, and he was on the line with us from his office in Toronto. Here in the headlines at NPR News today, the Air Force has decided against courts-martial for the two pilots who mistakenly bombed Canadian troops in Afghanistan last year. The error killed four Canadian soldiers. Today in Iraq, another American soldier has been killed in an ambush. The soldier was traveling in an army ambulance south of Baghdad when it was hit by a rocket-propelled grenade. More on those stories later today on All Things Considered from NPR News.